Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for this day. Thank you for another great opportunity to share the gospel message. I appreciate you so much, how you download your word inside of us and how you speak through us. And we appreciate you so much. There's so many people this in this audience and that's on the airwaves that's listening, Lord, need to know that you're real and that you live inside of them. And Lord, I want you to make yourself available to them and real to them so they know that they can do all things through you that give them strength. Oh, we just love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So, okay, listen. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. The world is really about relationships, right? And the church is about relationships. And so I want to, the title of the message today is Experiencing God's Love, right? God's Love for the Church. Everybody say the church. And not just a physical church, but you. Everybody say me. We have to understand that we are the church, right? So Jesus and God was trying to get a message across to us, right? So in God's doing, when you read Genesis chapter 1 in verses 26 and 27, I won't go there, but when he said that I want to create man in my image, and then when you get into the second, third chapter, you tell me, and God breathed into them the breath of life, and then they became a living soul. And when God wanted to make man in his image, God wanted to marry mankind in him, and he wanted to operate in mankind. And so he was showing us in the beginning that man can really have dominion and run things, but they have to run it in conjunction with him. And I'm going to be present in your life. That's important. Something's going on right now. There's a war going on, and people are dying on the other side of the world with the Iran-Israel situation. The situation that we have is we have people that's operating out of greed and people operating out of power and people operating thinking something belonged to them when nothing belongs to anyone. All of it belongs to God, but when you think it's yours, you'll kill somebody to try to keep it or you'll kill somebody trying to get it, right? And you'll hurt people, you'll destroy people's lives because you want something that you think is yours that's never yours to start with, right? So if God gave it to us to manage, he gave it to us to manage on his behalf, on behalf of the kingdom. And he wants us to understand that. So when Jesus comes along on the scene, Jesus was trying to show us God in the flesh. He was really trying to show us God in the flesh, trying to show us how God is working in us to do a work in the earth on behalf of the people. And so now, as we get into this lesson, we got to understand that the beginning of the church is about to take place. So the church is that group of people that really come together, man, to unite, to work on behalf of the kingdom. And the church is really a body of baptized believers, right? It's all those people, man, that even though we may not be doing the same thing, we have to work together because my hand depends on my feet and my eyes and my nose. So each one of us depend on each other. So when we get into Genesis, well, first, let's deal with Corinthians, right? So I'm going to give you guys a couple of scriptures that we talked about last week to kind of bring you into this week, right? And here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what union can there be between God's temple? Everybody say God's temple. And idols. Then it says this, for we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. We are the very thing that God lives in. So God resides in each one of us. Right, so don't miss that. That's important when we get ready to move on later on. Right, it says, "For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them." Right now, I know some people don't think you're nobody, but you're somebody. Right, I'm gonna live in them, and I'm gonna walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So there's a scripture that God said, "I never leave you, nor what." Forsake you. If I'm never going to leave you, nor forsake, I don't care if you go to the pits of hell, you go to the crack house. Jesus, God said, I ain't leaving you. You will never be in the crack house by yourself. You'll never be on the pole by yourself. I'm going to dance with you. He said, we're in this thing together. Right? He said, you may not recognize me there. He said, I'm the one that didn't let you fall. All right? Now, so now I know you holy and thou people want to get deep on me, so I'm going to walk with you on this. Right? But I want you to know, I didn't say it. God said, I'd never leave you nor what? So if he's never going to leave you nor forsake you, sometimes we want to make God not be with somebody because we don't think he's with them. That don't make him not be with them because you said it. Because he was with you in your mess. And thank God he was with you, because some of you all should have been gone. But only by the grace of God, we're here. Amen? So we got to understand the power of God. Now, the beauty of God is his righteous, as we recognize him and believe him, we start to change our behavior. And the things we do, right, start to change once we recognize who we are in him and recognize that he's living in us. And so that's why he says, for those who believe. When you believe something, you start to change. You start to act different and behave different. But I want you to understand that God wants to reside in us. And he's there whether you want to acknowledge it or not. He's in you. All right? Now, let me read this next verse, and I'm going to tell a story. Right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19 says, don't you realize that your body is what? Your body is what? Your body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. That means that's where the Holy Spirit resides, in your temple, right? Now, who lives where? In you, and was given to you by who? Not by you. God did this. Everybody say God thing. Now, I don't get to tell you whether he's there or not. I know I want the power because it makes me feel like I'm important because I'm a pastor. So I'm going to tell you, you don't have it. And it sounds good, but I ain't no different than who am I to tell you where God is not residing in you. All right? Now, so he says, you do not belong to yourself. Now, there's Brother Dennis came up to me and said, man, I got to show you something. Pastor Duren, he said, it never happened in my family before. He had a niece by the name of Lovely Childers. Lovely Childers lived in Junction, Kansas. And Lovely was in the military for many years. And something happened when she was in the military that she had an experience with God, and they thought she was having a mental breakdown. So what Lovely did for the last 20 years, she lived in her car as a homeless person in her car, right? And so one day, we were all really close when we was growing up. So her brother Kenny, I was over at his house, and Kenny said to me, man, I just talked to Lovey. I said, man, you got to give me Lovey's number so I can call my sister. So I called her on the phone, and when I get on the phone, she started talking about you guys not saved, the pastor's not right. She went to get into numerology, and this number means this here, and what's your birthday, and this your birthday. So I lied to her and told her my birthday was something else, and she gave me another prophecy. Right? And she just went on and on and on. And I said, Lovey, you don't know nothing about me. I do know about you. So she was really into something that was spiritually, that was deep. Right? And so I just hung up the phone. Right? So Kenny dies. When Kenny died, Lovey calls up and she pays for the funeral, $10,000. His funeral was over $10,000. She pays for the funeral cash, pays it all. Right? Now she's homeless, living in a car. Right? Don't nobody know because she don't deal with the family. She didn't come to her mama funeral. She didn't come to her grandmama funeral. She don't deal with her family in Muskegon because all them demons. Right? And she got this relationship with God. Right? And so we want to demonize people. So what Dennis showed me something today that was very powerful. And I told him, I said, wow, man, God is amazing. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So they did a big article on her, this homeless girl in Junction City. And they was talking about her, and she had a friend that was in the military with her, and they honored her, and the city honored her because she was a homeless woman who took her money and bought cars for other people. She got her military money, and they said she did so much for so many people. She would go to Walmart, and she would empower the other workers, the young workers, and she would speak life into them. But she was homeless living in the car. So instead of them doing something for her, God was using her to do something for other people. Right? And so what people have a tendency to do is they look at people and they want to judge people, but Jesus said, you are no mine. by the love they show, right? And so as I study a lot of stuff, man, you come across a lot of ideologies and all that. And I said, the thing I was telling Dennis, I said, the thing that really sets God's people apart is by the love they show. Because we think we're right, and we could be wrong, right? But what you don't lose ever is when you love people. And people don't care what you, when people are struggling and they're having issues, they don't care. They don't care about nothing. What they care about is how you treat them. So if you want to express God to them, don't talk about God in the Bible. Show them God in the way you treat them. Because the real love, and now watch this here. So God, when I do funerals, I often tell people, man, I don't care whether they was on drugs or they was a drug addict or a drug dealer. I don't care what they were. I can always tell the story of God in their life. Because God operates in all of us, and every one of us always express God to somebody. Now, you may not like me, right? But somebody else really likes me, right? Because I did something special for them, so much so, man, they love me, right? Because I express love to them, right? Well, where'd it come from? It has to come from God. So, you know, you have people, so you got the group of society out there say, oh, no, people just do nice things. Well, I'm not the one. I believe if you do something good, it's got to be God working through you. Because if the devil we talk about don't care, don't mean nobody no good, right? So we're going to talk about that, and it's important, right? Because Jesus is going to tell us something. So Jesus is about to go to Calvary. He's been here for 33 years teaching and preaching, healing, delivering people. Now he's about to go. He knows his time is up in John the 13th chapter, and he's getting ready to preach. So he calls his disciples together because they're at the Feast of the Passover. And he calls them together, the 12 men who's going to set the church on fire. They're going to be the birth of the church, and they're going to change the world so much so that you guys are going to be sitting here today, right? They were so powerful. And here's the thing. So Jesus, in the first chapter, he talks about, listen, my time is up. I know it's over. I'm about to die and all that, but I need you guys to come together because I have an assignment for you guys, and I want to tell you about it. It's important, but I want to read this to you before we get there. In John chapter 10, verse 30 and 31, the Father and I are what? Now, this is Jesus talking. He said, the Father and I are one because he's trying to let you know that you and God is one or are one. I knew I said red, right? Now, he said, once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. Why did they kill him? Because anytime you tell somebody that God is living inside you, they call it heresy. And the people back there didn't believe it. And when he said it, even though he's doing miracles, and he was telling us that God really lives inside of you, the Jewish people and the religious people wanted to kill him, right? So Jesus said, at my Father's direction, I have done many good works. I want you to hear this well. For which one are you going to stone me for? He said, now, I want to know, I know you guys are about to stone me to death. You don't believe that God resides in me. I know you don't believe it. Now, remember, he was a son of a lady by the name of Mary. So he was a human. And so they had a real serious problem with him because he was human. Now, we deify him and make him God and all this, but he was a human being. God was residing in him, and they knew it. So when he said, I'm God, right, I'm my Father, I won, they said, that's it, we got you now. You've been blaspheming. We're going to kill you, right? Well, he's trying to tell you something ahead of time to let you know who you are. He said, because you can't do nothing in this world apart from God. He's trying to let him know something, right? Now, let's get to the 13th chapter, and so I can come down through this thing, right? Here's what he says. It was time for supper. I want everybody to hear me really well. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now, the spirit of Satan had already entered Judas, who was one of his disciples, one of his trusted disciples, right? But whenever you let your guards down and you start listening to people and they try to give you something because they want something and they gave him a few dollars, he said, I turned God in for a couple of dollars. You know, and some of us said, man, I turn on the church for a few dollars, right? I don't care who it is. I'm broke too. Right? And we don't have much. Give me something. And I turn him in. I betray him. Right? But Jesus knew his time was come, right? Now, here's the thing that's important, right? In verse 3 and 4, Jesus knew that the Father had given him everybody hear me, because this applies to you, right? Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over what? Everybody say everything. So now God resides, and he told us in the beginning that I'm going to give you dominion. So now remember, this is Jesus talking. He's about to show us something, right? He said, God has given me, he talked to his disciples, power over everything and authority over everything. And then he says, and that he had come from God and he was going to return to God. He said, now I'm about to go back to my Father and I'm going to leave you guys, right? Because he's talking a spiritual thing, right? Then he says this. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, right? And poured water in a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around his waist. Now, I want you guys to miss that. Here he is, the King of Kings, right? He had worked miracles, delivered people from drugs, delivered people from sickness and illnesses. He had took tax collectors and turned them over and made them disciples, and they gave people back everything they had took from them. He had transformed lives. He had all authority, and he did something that we don't want to do. Because when somebody make us big, we want everybody to know we big. So we buy a bigger car and a bigger house. And I want you to respect me and honor me, right? Real quick, a sidebar. I remember Ardina was in the Church of God in Christ, we had nurses, right? And I remember a big-time bishop, Bishop Wells, was on the general board. So he would bring in big-time bishops, right? So this big-time bishop came in on the general board, and Ardina gave him a cup of water. And he said, don't give me no water in no cup. I said, you should just let him be thirsty. Because he felt like he should get it in a glass, right? I said, he just wasn't thirsty enough, right? Because if somebody gets you out in the desert and you dying of thirst, you don't care what they give it to you, right? But when you high and mighty, man, you only drink out of certain things, right? So you get high and mighty and you think you're somebody important. But Jesus was trying to show them something because they was going to be so powerful, they were going to change the world, just like some of you are. He said, you're going to be in positions of power and influence in the world. You're going to be major game changers. I'm going to put you over people and you're going to have so much influence. He said, but I don't want you to forget this here. I want you to understand what is about to happen. So what he does is he tells them first who he is. Right? And I want you to recognize who I am. I'm somebody. I'm really God in the flesh. He said, because God is working through me and I got all authority because my Father gave it to me. He said, now I'm going to show you what to do with power. What do you do with power? So he took his robe off, put a towel around him, poured water in the basin, and he started washing the disciples' feet. So now you got the king washing the servants' feet. Now it seemed like the servant should want to serve him. Now, in order for this to make sense, you got to listen to this part. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, because Peter knew who Jesus was, right? When he came to Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Right? Because what he's saying is, you ain't washing mine because I know you the Lord and I love you and I honor you so much because you like God in the flesh. If you know, I know who you are. Then Jesus said this. Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. And it's important for you to understand this because one day I'm going to be gone and all this power that I have, you're going to have it. And you're going to realize something later on that's going to be so significant. So then he says this in verse, I'm going to jump down to verse 12. He says, and after washing their feet, he put on a robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I'm doing? Nobody really understood because he was the king, right? He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are what? I am who you say I am, right? Now remember, he's a man. He said, "I'm God made me all of that. I'm all that in a bag of chips. I want you to know who I am who you say I am. I am the teacher and I am the Lord. And I'm that deal, for real." He says, because that's what I am. He said, I'm telling you who I am. Then he says this. And since, And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to do what? He says it's important to understand that if I'm your Lord and you know who I am, you saw the works that I did and all the authority God has given me. And if I can wash some people's feet, right, you need to, because this is God's way of doing business. Because God is trying to show us how to do business, right? He's not going to show you how to do business, man, without being in you. Because if God is in you and you get high and mighty, man, you're not washing anybody's feet. You're not doing nothing for anybody. You want somebody to serve you. Some of you all, you know God is in you, and you still think you should be served. You walk around the office like you're important, like you run the place, when you just one decision away from being poor, because they'll kick you out the door, because there's somebody always over you. And the reason why you're in the position you're in, because God put you there to serve the people. Always remember, I don't care what you do, the bottom line is serve the people. Right? But when you get high and mighty and you don't understand, Jesus was trying to get the church ready for a great explosion. And he wants to know, man, this is going to be big. You're going to be dealing with a lot of people that's going to be less than you, because you're going to know who I am. I want you to serve them me. Serve them me. I want you to serve them love. Or I know they don't deserve it, but I want you to serve it to them. I know they don't mean nothing. I know you think she's nothing, but I want you to love her, right? I know you don't want to deal with them. He said, but listen, you don't understand it now, but it's going to matter later. Now watch this here. Then he says this here. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than the master, right? Nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will what? Bless you for what? God will bless you because now you understand that you're not greater than the one that sent you. Right? Now, it's important because I need you to know who you are. Right? So then I'm going to jump down to the end because I ain't going to keep y'all long today for real. Right? So I'm going to jump down to the 34th verse and the 35th verse and watch this. And then I'm going to bring it on home. Right? All right, let's read it. Everybody read. Read. Stop. He said, now here's Jesus. He get ready to birth the church. Right? And the 12 disciples is about to move the world. Right? Remember, they're illiterate men. They don't know nothing. But now they're going to have so much influence and so much power because they're going to recognize that God is in them. So you don't have to be smart. You just got to know who you are and whose you are, right? And God will make you smart in the eyes of people. Some of you all didn't even finish your school, and you got a job making a lot of money. And you pray every day that they don't expose you. You look, please don't let them look at my transcript. Every day you're scared somebody's going to look at you and lose your job. You're not going to lose your job because God is in you. And God put you there. Right? You just got to be humble. So Jesus was trying to show them an example. Now watch this here. Now keep reading from love. Keep reading. Oh, love who? He says it's important now. It's important that you love it, because if you don't love each other, you're going to hurt each other. If you don't love each other, you're going to take advantage of each other. If you don't love each other and you get promoted, how many people, raise your hand if this ever happened. You was working with somebody and y'all was cool. They got promoted and they started acting like a fool. Yeah, yeah. They forgot who they were. They was cool. Y'all was eating lunch together. Y'all was talking and all that. As soon as they got promoted, they thought they were somebody else. They didn't realize that there's no difference. Now that I've been elevated, this is what Jesus is trying to say. Now when you get elevated, then you got to really humble yourself. Because your ego will get in the way. And you think you're more than what you are. So I'm giving you an example so when you run into it, right, to deal with. He said, now I want you to love or serve one another. Right? Keep reading. Just as what? The same way that I love you and you wasn't no good. right? And I was your Lord, but I washed your feet. I served you. I made sure you never went without, right? And I'm about to go, and I'm about to leave here, and I'm going to be gone because I'm leaving and going back to the Father. Who's leaving? Jesus. No, it ain't even about Jesus, the physical man. It's about the spirit in him, right? So he's leaving. He said, now, but my Father, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. So my Father's going to come. He's going to reside in you, right? Then he says this. You should love what? It's important that you love each other because we're about to build the church. And the church is different. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about church before I wrap this, before we go to the next verse. The church is a place where when you do something to somebody that's not right, it hurts them to the core. If you want to hurt somebody for real, right, hurt a church member. Lie to a church member. Deceive a friend in the church. Because they, even if you're not saved, they think you're saved. And the expectation in the church is different, right? I can take it from the world, but it's hard for me to take it from here because the reason why it's so hard for me to take it here because I believe that we all on the same page. I believe that we all understand Jesus' teaching and we should love one another, even if I don't do it. I know you're supposed to do it. That's why people who don't go to church and that's out there in the streets, when they get broke and they ain't got no money and they get their gas turned off and their lights turned off, they come to the church. They're not stupid because the God is in them. Let them know, say, I know what the church is supposed to do. So they come to the church because they know what the church is supposed to do. They know how it's supposed to function because God downloaded his system in all of us. That's why if a person don't go to church and they're in the streets and they get ready to get evicted, and you come to the church, and they don't get a church. They will never come back to church again. I ain't never coming to church. Because them people at the church ain't no good, even though they never went. But it's something God put a system inside of us that transcends time to let you know what love's supposed to do. How love is supposed to work. Right? So Jesus telling his disciples, I want you guys to understand what's happening. And you don't understand it now, but you'll understand it later. Because you guys are going to have so much power. Now, look at verse 35. Read it. Now, here's the thing. Now, here's the world. Now, Jesus is leaving. He said, now, it's going to be a world. I'm leaving, and I'm leaving you guys in charge. Right? Now, the problem is they're going to put one against the other. And they're going to talk about you guys. They're going to talk about me. But one thing they're going to do, they're going to look at you guys. And they're going to look at you and they're going to watch. They're going to see how you treat each other. And if you treat each other like crap, they're going to question the God that's in you. Now, they may not even recognize the God. Now, listen, they don't believe. But you say you believe. So they're watching how you treat each other. They said, man, look, shoo. If Brother Durin treating Brian like that, man, I ain't finna go to church. You know, he dogged him like that. Well, where am I going for, right? If they treat each other crazy, right? So, and Jesus let them know. He said, listen, so here's what you're going to do. Our whole mission is to win the lost to Christ, right? Here's what's going to happen. Only way you're going to win them is I'm going to let you in on a secret. He said, love each other unconditionally. He said, while you love it, they watching you. And as they watch you, they want to know, wow, is it real, right? And then they'll ease on in there, right? So Paul really said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, then glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's why you see people, they get mad at somebody and then they do something against the church, right? Not just the physical church, they hurt people. So I'm sick and tired of what you did to me. I'm going to get you, so I tell a lie on you. Don't raise your hand if you ever lied on somebody for no reason. You lied on the church, right? Because that's you. When you look at them, you're looking at you. Because you guys work together as a unit. That's why he said you got to love one another. He said, now, you don't understand this now, but you'll understand it later. If you want to be great. Now, listen. I don't mean no harm when I say this, man, but it's real, right? Y'all love me, man. I know y'all do. Can't you trick me? I already know it, right? Y'all do any, Nicole will do any, I can call Nicole right now, she'll do anything to work for me, right? Here's the thing. When you love people, They'll elevate you. They ain't gonna let you talk. You talk about being about Sneed if you want to. Sneed, you know, Sneed did 19 years. Sneed said, listen, man, I was there. You know, don't make me go back talking about Pastor Durin, right? What happened is, I don't have to do anything. All I gotta do is love you. As I love you, you will elevate me. Right? Here's the problem. When you elevate me, then I think I should be elevated. That's where the problem come in at. What happened is, the more you elevate me, I got you, because I just love you even more. Right? So the higher you lift me, the lower I go. So he was giving him a secret to success. He says, secret to success is the higher you go, the more you go low. He says, serve people even the more. He said, then they're going to elevate you. Don't act like you elevated. They're going to push you up. You just keep going down, and you can't stay down because they're going to keep pushing you up. And as you move up, then you're going to help somebody else come up. And when you help them come up, you just keep going low. Now they'll start going low, then they'll start lifting somebody up. Then everybody's gonna brag about them. And the system works. And it only happens because God lives in you. Now here's the key. If they believe, you have to believe that God's in you. I believe that God resides in me. Now you may not believe it, but I believe he does, right? So then I'm going to treat you like he lives in me. I'm going to treat you like I'm God, right? That's kind of deep, right? What I mean is this. I'm going to treat you just like God. I'm going to love you regardless of who you are. I'm not going to judge you based on your shortcomings. Because here's the truth. If God opened your mind and made your mind visible to everybody, all of us would probably be the same. All of us think the same. Some of us do some things that's so creepy, we don't think nobody else doing it. In reality, somebody else doing it too. They just won't tell nobody, so we just keep it private. But what if everybody can read your thoughts? You realize, if everybody can read your thoughts and you can read theirs, guess what? You wouldn't judge nobody because you guys would be on the same. Well, ain't no sense me judging them because I'm doing the same thing they doing. Right? So now, imagine this. God said, that's the whole point of the picture. Don't judge nobody. Just love them for who they are. Amen. Now, who are you to talk about somebody because they're a pole dancer? Girl, you know, she out there on that pole swinging. You don't know why she's swinging. You don't know why he's doing what he's doing. So what you need to do is love him through it. Because sometimes, man, somebody just needs you to love them through it. They may be going through something so tough that this is a medicine for them because they don't know nothing else. But when you introduce the God in you to the God in them, a lot of us are saved because somebody else prayed for us. Somebody paid attention to me. Somebody put their arms around me. And it helped transform my life. And I'm not what I used to be. Right? So God worked through somebody. Everybody in this room, man, don't you fool yourself. People, well, you know, the Lord just, no, he didn't do that. I promise you, man, God worked through somebody. Somebody came, somebody was praying for you, somebody gave you a word of encouragement, somebody lifted you up, somebody bought you some food, somebody helped you with some gas, somebody did something to you that changed your thought process. So because God worked through people. So what he did was he took his energy that was in them and connected it to yours. And y'all had an entanglement, not like Jada, but you had an entanglement, right? So you had a tangle with God, and then the energy's got to come, and then all of a sudden, man, you said, well, I'm coming to church with you tomorrow. I'll be there. I'm coming. Then all of a sudden, man, things got better and better and better. And then you start loving them and loving them. How many people somebody invite you to church, and then you start coming? Not this church. I'm talking about church, period, when you first started. Yeah, somebody invited you. Right? You weren't coming. Somebody invited you. Some of you guys have took a time off. Some of you guys were going to church and you quit. Then somebody else came along and said, girl, you need to, come on. Now, come on, go. Just go to church with me this Sunday. I ain't never going to church no more. Then y'all came to Kingdom. Ooh, I like y'all church. I'm coming back, right? And then you just feel the love. That's what Jesus is trying to tell you. And he tells the disciples, you are the church, right? People go as you go. I downloaded me in you because you know who I am. So I want you to live like you know who I am. If you live, how do they know? How do they know that you believe? Niecy, how do they know? Well, Tasha made me mad, so I had to cuss out. They don't make her believe. Because she's going to say, yeah, you're supposed to be saved. What's going to make them believe? By the way you love them and care for them and the way you treat people. Now they know you believe. Right? And they say, oh, I want to be like that. I want that God in my life. I want God to treat me like he treat Pastor Duran. He treat me good. I don't have nothing. I just made y'all think I got something. I don't have nothing. You know, I really don't. I went to Hawaii on a trip. For real. I went to Hawaii Pentecost for 7 days and was living it up. Then I took a cruise for 10 days to Alaska. I was living it up. Guess what? Y'all paid for it. The people in the audience put money together and said, I love them so much, they sent me to Hawaii. But it looked like I had the money and I was living large. So we went to Hawaii. I was like, yeah. I didn't have nothing. The people loved me through it. Right now I'm going to let you guess on a secret. The reason why they did it is because I do it. Because I bless other people. And because I bless other people, people bless me. And so it all works together. You don't have to have. You just have to love. You don't have to have money. You just got to have love. And love is more valuable than money. Money is just something we use for means of exchange. Love goes to the heart. Money don't go to the heart. Money don't go to the heart. Money just pay the bill for a second. Real love touches the heart. I want to know how you really, genuinely care. And I'm going to close with that. I had a brother call me at the church. He said, Pastor. He said, man, my job changed, and me and my wife's income dropped. I need some help. Is there anything you guys could do? Help us out. Help me out. Right? And I said, yeah, let me see what I can do. We did it. Made a huge difference. Right? It was about love. It's about relationship. We didn't have a relationship, man, before, a real relationship like that before the church. But once you get love in the church, it's like, but if you can't, but if you can, I would appreciate it. So then you show the love. Right? And when the love, and guess what? How you think he going to feel about the church? It ain't going to be me. It's the church. Everybody say the church. Church. That's who you are. Amen. Don't forget it. They didn't understand it then, but you understand it now. Yeah. Right? That's why you do what you do. Amen? Get a lot of hand clap. All right. So when someone tell you that God doesn't live inside of you, don't get mad at them. Don't try to convince them. Don't try, man, don't do all that. Just start loving them. Just show the love and watch your actions speak louder than your words. Young people, let your actions speak louder than your words. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. God, your love for the church. We thank you so much. We thank you for every person that listened to our voice. Thank you for blessing us with the power of you inside of us. In every decision we make, everything we do is working together for the good. So we don't complain, because when we complain, we don't trust you. But when things seem to be going bad, we just know you moving the pieces around on the puzzle until it match up. So Lord, we're just going to thank you for all our tough times. Because we know that it's going to turn out for our good. I pray for all those who don't know you as their Lord and Savior. They don't know you, God. They don't know you reside inside of them. They've been operating apart from you. Going out there trying to do other things. But let them love so much that when they leave this building, they would go out and be an example to people that don't know you. So the people that don't know you are wanting to have a relationship with you. Recognizing who they are. I thank you so much, and I love you. Lord, as we leave this place, we never ever want to leave your presence. We ask you to be with us, guide our hearts, and guide our minds. Let your spirit always lead us, and we thank you so much. And for those who would like prayer at the altar, We ask you to come forward for those who don't need prayer. We ask you to pray for those who do need prayer as you leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all. I love you guys so much. Consider yourself dismissed. The altar is open for those who need prayer.